This is Mona Lisa Baseball.
Okay, so I started this morning by re-listening to part one of your interview. That was April 2022. And the last thing we were talking about was how Clayton Kershaw was taken out of the game after working seven perfect innings. And he blamed it on the lockout. And I thought, what a long way we've come since that day. And also at the same time, pretty much the same conversations are going on around Paul Skeens. They're just more accepted now. It's not like, oh, what a goddamn travesty. He didn't even go for his perfect game. It's kind of like, well,
no, he had a good seven.
Pittsburgh did a good thing. You know, you wouldn't want to burn out this young kid's arm. And that's where we're at.
If we had the opportunity to have a soundboard and I had Dwight Schrute saying false right now, that's what I would hit. Because that's how I feel. Because as someone who played baseball and loves baseball and knows how incredible it is to see that, and then as a fan, yeah, we've come a long way from the Nolan Ryan days. I can't disagree more with the Dave Roberts style of managing and pulling guys who are throwing perfectos.
Why?
Well, for one, it's called a perfect game in a world that isn't perfect. To have a statistical anomaly like that and be that dominant, even for one day, should be celebrated and not protected like an investment. Should be treated like a sport, not with monetary value.
Go back a little bit and pitcher and manager may talk about it. What do you think about the eighth inning? Do you think you got the stuff? Is there a chance to get through nine? And we were getting the vibe that there was no conversation with Clayton. And Clayton wasn't involved in the conversation. It was basically a manager / management decision. It had nothing to do with Kershaw. And we were kind of making the argument. If baseball feels healthy, it's Kershaw's ball. He can go out in the eighth if he wants to or not. And that seems really obvious now, but it also seems so laughable now that that's only more obvious that that's not going to fly. God, I had so many thoughts going on leading into this because of where we started, where we've made it to. And it's completely terrifying because it's like 100 times worse than I ever would have dreamed, but it's also 100 times more accepted. And what I can't figure out is if these things are so obvious to us, why isn't there a movement? Because I don't feel like we're unique baseball people. We're just people that love baseball. And there's some really obvious things that are happening that don't feel right. And while I don't seek out very much noise, I don't hear a peep about anything. Hey, wouldn't that be cool if a rookie Skeens went out and was throwing no-nos?
In his 11th start.
Yep.
So
yeah,
I'm not ignorant of the fact that we have finite amounts of throws in our arms. So I appreciate the idea of keeping someone healthy. What I don't appreciate is how this is a person who's played baseball his whole life, and that's such a rad achievement. I'm looking at it from the accolade side of how unique and rare it is to be that dominant in a game. And why doesn't that take precedence anymore?
99 pitches.
Is really beyond me. I don't really know how to explain it. We saw it with Lincecum, did we not? He was unreal for quite a few years. And then towards the end there, he definitely didn't have the same stuff. I mean, all pitchers. That happens to everybody. Didn't Charlie Huff pitch for like 100 years and threw like 40 in 1993?
It seems like one of the only people that kind of got to skip all that was Nolan Ryan. He seemed to have infinite throws in his arm. But there's definitely a bit of an epidemic being talked about in terms of pitchers getting burned out real, real early. And they definitely seem more fragile now. Could be that their arms are moving quicker, so the body hasn't really had...
They're definitely throwing harder. I think that's fair.
Do you think that's a direct link? People that throw harder are more likely to get injured?
I don't know. It seems more violent on your arm, right? I mean, it just kind of seems to make sense. And maybe it's not just throwing hard. They're spinning the ball harder. I mean, have you seen this guy throw? He's got an arsenal for sure. I mean,
I haven't seen a ton. I've seen enough to know he's filthy.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But you asked about a movement earlier, and I wanted to follow up on your point. And something that I found pretty disturbing.
Tell me you're feeling something positive in Montana, please.
Oh, no. unfortunately, what it was is that when you're talking about people wanting to rise up and protect the health of the game, I really like that. There was an article that I refused to read, but the headline was something along the lines of Paul Skeen's early success is throwing off better lines. And so rather than discussing things that might be important to the game, they were worried about who's making money. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it was pretty cool, pretty neat.
Yeah, I was at a farmer's market looking for peaches, and a guy I hadn't seen in a while that was reportedly a baseball fan wanted to talk baseball. And he said, yeah, this is the earliest in like Vegas history. You can't make a bet on Rookie of the Year. It's already been locked up pre All-Star game. And I thought that was a cool stat, not necessarily a health of the game thing, but it's cool that a rookie can come out that dominant. But it is very reminiscent of Strasburg. I remember his rookie year. I think it was his first start. It was one of those like 15 strikeout type games. And everyone's saying, wow, the hype's true. And he got injured pretty quick after that. So what do? You want to keep Paul Skeens on the mound, but you could only throw him one inning in the All-Star game. The only thing you can do to make something the coolest it can be is just go for it. And the league's just not in a position to do that. It's a very common topic. We have stars, but we don't know how to get them into the limelight. And so everyone in the sport is kind of coming together to force the popularity of something. And I just don't feel the flow of the game in it. It's like the All-Star game. I'll bet it's a pretty recent thing that All-Star starters, pitchers only throw one inning. And it seems right in line with that protective sort of mindset. It's like, I hear that consistently with the sports talk radio. Well, it wouldn't be fair to the other managers, a player to get hurt in this game. So one of the reasons why the All-Star game in baseball is so great is in the middle of the season, it kind of has a meaning. But the way the media talks about it is like, well, let's not get too much of a good thing here. And let's like kind of play a serious game, but let's make sure to not get everyone hurt. I don't really know if you could do it that way. It's like, boy, does it feel a long, long ways away of, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have a pitch clock. Like, I think A4 had it so early, that shit is just gone. Gone. So gone.
Blow it up.
But the All-Star game, it's like a showcase now. I wasn't necessarily on the line of like it's an injury thing. I think it was more of like, let's get as many guys in there.
The one inning thing,
for a while. It isn't like the 60s anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one inning?
But it also maybe like,
it's not a real game.
Yeah.
It's a showcase.
The players were definitely different too, I think. Like, do you get the same energy out of like the lineup went like Mays, Clemente, Henry, Aaron, 1, 2, 3. I mean, I wouldn't pull those guys versus whatever the lineup was this year. I don't have no idea.
I want to know about that. Did any of us three watch any minutes of either night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched them.
Okay, I got zero.
I had zero.
All right, A2, give us what you gleaned.
Well, I can tell you that Paul Skeens did not give up any hits, so he has 8 consecutive no-hit innings.
Mm.
Good job, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also tell you, yeah, he was at 99 pitches coming out of the 7th inning, and I think he'd like shut him down hard in the 7th, like real hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, the manager was like, Paul looked tired.
Uh-huh.
We were just detecting. It's just, dude, he's got 100 pitch fucking limit, man. It's just as simple as that.
Right.
You know, we can talk till we're blue in the face, but it's like he only was going to go out and do 100 and that's it. That's all they're doing with him.
Period.
Now, the analytics department thinks this is the best thing they should ever do. However, a lot of people who want to sell tickets to the games and create a spectacle, obviously they want that. I mean, because that had happened, it'd be so good for ticket sales and so good for the organization, and you get to celebrate and put up stuff and everyone's going to be talking about it. Why wouldn't you go for it? right? Well, you have the analytics department saying, well, guess what? If we can win more games, we get more people to come to the playoff games and we sell those tickets at whatever. And they've got all the math to tell you that, like, we'll actually make more money if we do this. And that's why.
Mm-hmm. They got their own algorithm. Okay, keep going on All-Star Game.
Well, you don't see a lot of guys like doing diving catches in the All-Star Game. So, you know, why am I going to pay too much attention to it? Also, like, yeah, isn't it funny now you've got the American League Rookie of the Year, the National League. It's like the leagues don't matter. They all play each other the same amount of times. Who fucking cares? They got the same rules. What's the point? Why do we have these leagues? It's like the emperor has no clothes.
Well, I saw the unis and that was something.
Kind of down.
If I was going to see anything, I wanted to see the spectacle of, I guess, the day before when the names got announced. And you had told me last year that they brought out the red carpet and whatnot.
Yeah, right.
And so this year I just caught the tail end of someone saying, it reminded me too much of WWE coming out to these entrances with fireworks and music. And
oh, yeah.
Did you catch any of the... Hey, these guys are stars. Check them out. Did you?
Well, I was just waiting for them to jump a monster truck over them walking, you know, out of the, you know, the gate. So nice. I was kind of disappointed.
Okay. Part two interview. So how's the last 2 years, 3 months, or I guess it'd be two whole baseball seasons plus a half season. You got 2.5 seasons and we've had you on the show since then. How's your baseball mojo nowadays? You got taken out of your managing roots. You've moved to a place where there's snow in the spring. Like, how the hell are you surviving out there baseball-wise?
Baseball-wise, I still get my highlights and I check out the games when I can, Giants-wise.
So you're connected.
So I still try to feed the heart meter there. I still have a tech stream with the coaches at the high school. Mm-hmm. So I'm following those kiddos, and that's pretty fun.
He's got the local team.
So just trying to do that. And there is a local team out here, the Pioneer Baseball League, the Range Riders. So every once in a while, we can kind of check out that type of baseball, but it's essentially the... the training grounds for all these new rules, right? We went to a game and we saw them do the tap for challenging a pitch, and he thought it was a ball. Turns out it was a strike, you know, that sort of thing. I wish I had better news to report and was in a better mood about it.
Well, I gotta know, if it's not giving you the kicks, like, what is keeping you tuned in?
I love the game of baseball.
Amen.
Yeah. My attitude is really poor. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to be part of it. And I can't even watch highlights. I can't even watch the good stuff anymore. I'm so angry. But I hear people like you are still tuning in and watching. And I want to know how it feels for someone like you, say the stolen base thing going on. They force fed the stolen base requirement, and now the numbers are up. Have you accepted that when you're watching a game? Have you accepted the pitch clock? Have you accepted these new things? Have you accepted that pitchers aren't hitting? Like, where are you with that?
Oh, man. I mean, it's force-fed, like, is the best way to put it. Like, they beat me into submission.
Yeah.
But I consider myself a student of the game. Like, I am so entrenched in the idea that the thing that baseball has over the other major sports in North America is its connection to history. And that by not changing the game as much, that you can kind of use the stats to evaluate each other. And it lasted the test of time. And there's so many great stories of these teams and turmoils. And there's a drama and romance to it that I gravitate towards. But as far as watching highlights and watching home run derbies and things like that, I'm not interested in the direction of the game. But I find myself wanting to watch games and just like, watching situations and seeing how different it is now. For me, I think a golden rule in baseball is first and second no out with the heat of the lineup coming up or a good matchup coming up or a guy who's been swinging it. You put a bunt down to move guys into scoring position and take away the force play and set your team up for success. It doesn't always work out that way, but traditional wisdom says, hey, let's do this as a team. And now that's so gone.
Oh, my God. Even just hearing you say that, it's like, yeah, what team's doing that?
No, I don't even know the last time I saw a bunt.
Do you guys know that the Japanese All-Star Game has a bunting skills contest?
Oh, hell yeah.
No way.
I did not know that.
Just thought I'd drop that in there.
Yeah, it's a lost art, man. Mm-hmm. When I was playing, one of the things that we talked about and then we translated it to coaching was that, you know, if kids that can bunt don't slump, or people that can bunt don't slump. Like if you can't, mm-hmm. if you're not seeing the ball,
yeah.
put a bunt down and see what happens. And so many things have to go right defensively. Like
yeah.
if you swing at a bad pitch and pop it up, the guy can close his eyes and get lucky Sandlot style and you're out.
Bro, if you just square around one time in the whole at bat, they're going to come in a little bit and that gives you a better chance of getting a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do get a bunt down, the guy's got to field it depending on how, if he's got to turn his body or not. He's got to make a good throw. The other guy's got to catch it and all that. And all you have to do is run 90 feet and get there. I mean, how's that not exciting? I just don't.
Oh.
Yeah. Boo, big time. So, yeah, I guess I haven't changed my mentality for the game.
They haven't killed you. They haven't beat it out of you.
I guess I don't watch as much modern baseball. Like,
Do you have the package? Do you have MLB package?
Yeah.
You have it?
I do.
Okay.
So you can watch anything you want?
They include the minor leagues now, which is kind of fun.
You're a paying customer.
Yeah.
Right.
Couldn't help myself. Had to do it.
No, good for you, man.
Big separator.
It's hard to let something go that you've been passionate about for so long.
Yeah.
This is what I worried about, that pretty early on was like, if the NL goes DH, I won't be able to watch. And that's exactly what happened. Like, it's such a stinker. One thing that I was realizing recently is I'm very excited there's a guy like Ellie De La Cruz. I'm very, very excited. So I feel horrible for him that he has to play under the stolen base chicken shit rules, where now right. he can't steal his own number of bases if he plays 20 years and like, oh, he's approaching 1,000 stolen bases. Like,
Ricky's not going to respect that now.
Exactly. Yeah.
And instead of being excited about him, like, I didn't give a rat's ass about the Mariners, but when I saw Ken Griffey play, I wanted, that was very exciting. Ellie De La Cruz, I want to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm angry because I want to watch, but my urge to turn it off is greater.
Right.
Oh. Messed up.
Yeah.
Super messed up.
I just keep going back to the well, even though I know it's bad for me. Or maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I can't not be in the know of it.
That's just the power of the sport.
I definitely don't follow it like I used to. And that's pretty sad. I mean, I'll give you an example. The other day, I was talking to my wife about it. And bless her heart, she's trying to learn the game. And she's like, whenever you watch the game, you don't talk to me. You're just like analyzing things. I'm like, I don't know how to turn that part off.
Yeah.
So we're talking. And then the next day, she goes, do you know who Bo Jackson is?
Yes.
And I'm like, what?
Don't you love questions like that?
What did you just say to me? And she's like, yeah, I saw these highlights of a guy named Bo Jackson. And then instead of talking about modern baseball, we talked about Bo Jackson. And yeah. she's like, he just mm-hmm. ran up the wall. I'm like, yes, right. I know. The guy was a beast. And so holding on to that part of baseball keeps my heart full, as opposed to, like you said, like I used to get up in the morning and read a box score of every game.
Yeah.
I didn't care if it was, I think I skipped class in college when we first got the baseball package. Like, dude, Royals, White Sox are in the seventh. I'm invested. You know what I mean? And those days are long gone. Maybe it's a maturation piece, or maybe it's just,
right.
I'm over it, but I couldn't tell you any stats from anyone. And I used to be a walking stat book for that kind of stuff. I could tell you who was leading the league in homers, who was leading the league in stolen bases or whatever. And now that is just, it's unfortunate that.
But you could give me NL West standings, right?
I couldn't even give you that, honestly.
Oh, what?
I mean, obviously the Dodgers are in first. I know that
you just know that through osmosis. Yeah. Right.
Well, yeah, that's just.
I'm not hearing any numbers.
I learned that from the betting line.
Betting line.
Oh, and by the way, I got one more bone to pick real quick on betting line. So the ESPN was on and the ticker was on. We were out eating somewhere. And instead of the ticker, when we were watching the game, it would show the teams that were playing and the time, right? And then the second click would be probable starters.
Oh, no.
That's not even there anymore. It's who's playing. And then the second tick line is betting line.
Oh, God.
So ridiculous.
You're killing me, man.
End of speech.
Okay. Let me ask you a question that they asked Pete Rose. Have you ever bet on baseball?
I played fantasy baseball back in the day. Does that count?
God, I doubt Pete would have got kicked out of the league for fantasy.
Well, he probably was managing a shit team, right? Wasn't he betting against his team?
I don't know if that's ever come out. A friend of mine sent me a promo for a documentary that's coming out on Pete Rose. And it brought up an interesting point, which was at some point towards the end, he was stating how he's headlining a push to get him into the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And
do you feel like we're done with him being the villain of baseball? I mean, now that betting is legal and not even just legal, it's celebrated almost.
He's got a lot more friends these days. I think Barry's more hated now.
Oh, I would agree with that.
New big villain, yeah.
But there's something not right about campaigning for yourself to be put in the Hall of Fame. I don't think anyone would doubt he should be in it for his baseball stuff, but I remember Bert Blyleven was doing it, and he was making the point of how many wins he had. He was very highly ranked on the career shutouts. And I guess it puts you in the same category. You can't let go of the past, but isn't the point to kind of like play your career and then they decide? Like, Pete got in his own way. There wasn't any point where he didn't know that he could get banned from baseball for betting. I mean,
right.
Really obvious. He got in his own way. Nothing took anything from him. The commissioner basically busted him on it.
Right.
But making a case for yourself doesn't look good.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, a guy making a case for himself to get in the Hall of Fame is just like a dog barking in the night. It's just no, you know, doesn't matter. It's just noise.
I'm a-telling you. You should have seen me. Yeah. How much you want to bet I could throw it over them mountains?
Now, did Pete start this campaign after the recent gambling scandals? Because that would be, I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's always been championing this push for many, many years. And he really has probably the best ground to stand on he ever has.
Agreed.
Well, it's only going to get better. And, you know, like at the top of this thing, man, you're like, oh, I can't deal with this. I can't even watch a game. Well, you're not the audience, dude. You're not the audience. They're looking for somebody past you.
Yes.
They're really trying to capture this audience that maybe doesn't even exist all the time, except
Absolutely.
When your team makes the playoffs.
Absolutely.
And that's what they want. Whatever. I want to let you guys talk.
No, I want to let you talk. I feel like we're getting somewhere.
Do you guys know anything about Star Wars?
Yes. Crack a fucking beer for that. Okay.
You guys Star Wars fans?
I was in the theater and I had my blanket. I think I was 2 or 3 years old for, I think, the second one that came out. I was told that my mom was reprimanded to get this kid under control because I was up on my seat, like shooting the bad guys in the theater.
You were into it.
I was into it, but I was maybe
Empire
three.
Strikes Back, one of the best sci-fi movies ever made, yes.
In real time, I was a fan.
Right. So we had George Lucas do, you know, Star Wars. You know, I'm like a Star Wars nerd. I'm not as hardcore as some people are, okay? But let's get to the point. Disney bought Star Wars. They made a bunch of new shit, and they've been making new shows for a while, and they've been getting progressively worse. And it's caused kind of a commotion amongst people who love Star Wars. All the toys have lost value. Things that used to be worth like $10,000 are almost worthless. It's like baseball cards.
Oh, no.
Okay. And all the fans are just like, dude, what are you doing? And so, you know, the proof is in the pudding. The most recent show they put out, I think it's like 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. People hate it. Ooh. And it's so obvious to me as a guy who has worked in entertainment, worked in video games and been in writers' rooms and seen people like, okay, we have this idea for this and that. People are trying to capture audience that spends a lot of money on stupid shit. Okay, like merchandising. You guys have seen Spaceballs. There's a new one coming out. I can't wait for it.
Wow.
Okay, so
no John Candy.
We want people who are going to buy the jerseys, buy the plushies, get the bobblehead, all of that stuff, because we can make so much more money off of these obsessive compulsive type fans, all right? And so we are going to chase that audience because their ticket, their fandom is worth 10 times more than yours, A1, A3, maybe 5 times more than yours, because no matter how much beer we buy when we go to the game, yeah, they're going to spend so much more on these collectibles and jerseys. So they're chasing these fans, okay? So in America, on average, there's a lot of exceptions to this rule, but women spend a lot more money than men. They have a lot more control over, like, you know, the way that households spend money. So a lot of people think that, well, we really need to increase our female audience because that's going to give us more revenue.
I did not link that with baseball, but that makes sense.
So with Star Wars, the most recent show they had, it's like really, really aimed at young girls. And it's got a lot of, you know, it's got some romantic stuff and like a bunch of like really horrible writing and young girls chasing the bad guy. And, you know, all the Star Wars fans like me are just like, yeah, no, we don't really like this. Nothing really makes sense. And all the action is like super lame. But this is an example of an organization like chasing an audience so hard that they just fall on their face.
So,
and Star Wars has done this. And I think baseball might be on the same track if they don't course correct.
So let me ask you this then, A2, as I see where you're going, or at least I think I have the correlation to baseball, and does the new stuff, does it cheapen your experience as a fan? Because
yeah,
that's kind of where I think you're getting with it.
And it does. 100%. Like when they read...
Why? What is it? What does it change how you love the first trilogy because of this new shit?
Because it recontextualizes things and makes characters that were otherwise cool stupid. So like when you change the rules and make stolen bases easier to get, it makes Ricky Henderson less cool because someone else is going to be like, I'm the new record holder, and everyone's going to be like, that's the guy, right? And the same way when they retroactively recontextualize different characters, especially when it's in a negative way, it's like, what are you doing? Like, why do you gotta like fuck with Yoda like that? Like, dude, don't fuck with Yoda. Who fucks with Yoda?
That sounds like a bumper sticker.
Unwise people.
False.
They haven't killed you.
There's a drama and romance to it.
That's just the power of the sport.
I love the game of baseball.
Proof is in the pudding.
The only thing you can do to make something the coolest it can be is just go for it.